ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Jesus is not just a lamb, one of the many who have come and will come to show us the way to God. Let's think about that, because maybe some of you are struggling with that. Do you believe those who followed Jim Jones into the jungles of Guyana and drank the Kool-Aid that was laced with arsenic and all of them died were on their way to God? Do you really think that? Well, then all passed only to God. Do you believe those who are following after Allah and Muhammad, doing suicide bombings, killing people in the name of Allah, are on their way to God? Do you think that those who followed after Hitler, who quoted scriptures, even some theologians were on their way to God? No. Do you think those who committed suicide thinking that Jesus was in the spaceship behind the Hale-Bopp comet were on their way to God? No. Do you think Mormons who believe Jesus was the brother of Lucifer and we're all going to become gods one day are on their way to God? No. What about Jehovah's Witnesses who believe Jesus is a God, not the God, not Yahweh, are on their way to God? No. Please, I'm not saying these people are not sincere in what they believe. I believe many of them are very, very sincere. The problem is that as sincere as these people may be, none of them are on their way to the true and living God because all roads don't lead to God. It doesn't matter how sincere you are. And I realize that many would call me narrow-minded today. But that's not my problem because this isn't my doctrine. This is what Jesus has said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. He didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way. In fact, in Matthew 7, verses 13 through 14, Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. It's not a have-it-your-own-way religion, guys. And here's the scary thing to me. My grandson, who's 13 now, I think this happened last year, was going to an Awanas club at another church down in the Madison area. And the instructor, the teacher, was telling the kids that, you know, it's the broad way that leads to God. And my grandson, he's very polite. And he said, no, I think it's the narrow way that leads to God. He's like, no, it's the broad way. And he let it slide. He didn't want to argue with him, but he just didn't feel that was right. So when he went home, he told his parents and said, Mom, Dad, you know, they said that it was the broad way that leads to God. Isn't it the narrow way? And they said, absolutely. Isn't that scary? This is not some deep theological issue, is it? This is ABCs of Christianity. And we have teachers that are teaching children that don't know the ABCs. Imagine, Travis is a teacher, right? Imagine him teaching an English class. He's not an English teacher, but imagine he is. But he doesn't know the ABCs. How could he teach English? How could you teach Christianity, the Bible, without knowing the ABCs of Christianity? You see, it is the narrow gate. It's only through Jesus, not because I said it. Jesus said it. So don't get mad at me. And he's right. Paul said in 1 Timothy 2 that God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Isn't that wonderful? God wants all to be saved. Not a universalist idea where everyone gets saved, just believe whatever you want. Because he goes on to say, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You see, there are so many people saying, oh, this is the way to God. This is the way to God. And God is crying out, no, I am the way. You have to follow me. Why do we listen to the philosophies of man instead of what God's word has to say? There's a story of a West Indian who rejected Christianity for Islam. And his reason for choosing Islam over Christianity was that Islam is a noble, broad path. There is room for a man and his sins on it. The way of Christ is too narrow. Well, it's true. But the thing is, in my sin, yeah, there is excitement, maybe joy, fun for a time. But what happens? Now it becomes bondage to me. You doubt that? Read the story of Samson. He had a problem with women. And look what happened to him. He kept feeding that fleshly desire, and it brought him into bondage. Be careful. Jesus is the way, and it's a narrow road. It's only through him. So by making Jesus a lamb, it's not going to save you. He's not going to save you. He's not one of the many paths to God. He really is the path to God. Well, again, as we read on, we looked at a lamb. Look at verse 4 of Exodus 12, the second article that's used. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. So the next article here is the. And here's what I believe is going on here. There are those who believe that Jesus is God. He's the way. What's the problem? There's no relationship. They know he's God. You know, I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church. I wasn't saved, but I believed Jesus was God. That's what I was taught. But I wasn't saved. I had the right information, but I missed heaven by 18 inches from my head to my heart. And that's the key. These are kind of religious people. And boy, you can go to church on Easter, Christmas, every Sunday, every Thursday, whatever. But if you don't have a relationship with him, if he's not your Lord and Savior, it's meaningless. You see, he's not just a lamb, one of the many who are leading us to God, and he's not the lamb, for knowing the truth doesn't save you. You have to apply it to your life. I'm not saying he's not the lamb. He is. But what I'm saying is, has that impacted your life where you've come to him and asked him to be Lord and Savior of your life? That's really the key. And that leads us to the third article in verse 5 of Exodus 12. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. So the third article is your. Jesus Christ is not just a lamb. He is not just the lamb, but he has to become your lamb. There has to be that personal relationship with him. You have to admit that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And many people don't want to do that. And I don't know, is it pride? Is it? I don't know what it is. But in reality, if I was truly to examine my life, I fall far short of perfection. And I need a Savior. And again, for a lot of people, they feel, but I'm a pretty good person. And you kind of, you know, deal with that. And I haven't killed anyone. Well, praise the Lord, I guess, right? But is that a qualification to get into heaven, that you haven't killed anyone? Good job, Joe. You didn't kill anyone down on earth. I knew you wanted to, but you didn't. You get in. No, that's not how it works. You know, what does the Bible say? First of all, in Habakkuk 1:13, we're told, you are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. God cannot look with favor upon wickedness. He doesn't condone it. He can't accept it. Why? Because he is holy. He's pure. He's righteous. There's no darkness in him at all. And Isaiah 59 tells us the problem. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. It's Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Isaiah 64, verses 6 through 7. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. Do you know what that means? All the good we do are like filthy rags before a holy and righteous God. You see, we lose sight of that. You know, some of you ladies understand this, you know, with those mirrors that have those like 2,000 watt bulbs on the side. And, you know, you turn those lights on, and what do they show you? They show you all the imperfections in your face. It's amazing. I'm not sure why you use that. Because no one looks at you with those big lights, okay? But you turn on regular lights and you look okay. I look good before you guys. But now I turn the light of God on and I see myself like I really am. And my sin has separated me from God. That is the problem. Isaiah goes on and says, we all fade as a leaf and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. And Paul in Romans chapter 10 in the New Testament, or chapter 3, excuse me, verses 10 through 12 in the New Testament. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none who does good, no, not one. You see, on this path to God, on this road to God, the bomb of sin has wiped out the bridge. And now, by man's own efforts, he can't restore that gap. There's nothing I can do to fix that problem. It doesn't matter how good I am. I will never be perfect. And I know it doesn't sound too encouraging, but I love what God does because he never leaves us hopeless. He brings us to that point where he shows us who we are and our need for a Savior. And then he brings us to Jesus. Again, look at Exodus 12. Look at verses 21 through 23. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourself according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. You see, it wasn't only the sacrifice of the lamb, but it was applying the blood of the lamb upon the door that kept the angel of death from coming upon them. It's all about the blood of Jesus, guys, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And the reality is, if you don't apply his blood to your life, you're still dead in your trespasses and sins. In Hebrews 9, verses 11 through 15, Paul put it like this, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. You see, it's not about our finished work, but the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. He paid in full the penalty for our sins, and he's telling us to come to him and receive the free gift that's found in him. Not of works, a gift of grace that has been given to us. In fact, Paul in Romans 6:23 said, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's Christ Jesus our Lord. What do you have to do for a free gift? Nothing. It's free, right? It's a free gift that God has given to us, eternal life. And I've said it so many times before, but again, it's important in the days we're living in. When God speaks of grace, it's unmerited favor. It's something he freely has given to us. If I add anything to it, any good works, to grace, it's not grace. It's works. There's the danger. But just a little bit. No, nothing. then I could do whatever I want? Sure you could. But if you truly love the Lord, you're going to follow him, right? You're not going to do things that are going to dishonor him. And that's the whole book of James. James isn't speaking about a work salvation. He's speaking about a salvation that works. Completely different. I love the Lord. I want to serve him. I love my wife. I'll do anything for her. She knows that. Not because she's given me something back, although she takes care of me plenty, but because I love her. It's free. I don't say, well, yeah, I'll cook dinner tonight if you do this. What kind of relationship is that? Surely not a relationship that God wants us to have. God says, I've freely given you eternal life. Receive it. And now I want to live for him because I love him. Remember when Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary, and for those last 3 hours that he hung there, there was darkness that covered the earth. And we're told that Jesus said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. So word to Telestai, paid in full, it is finished. He didn't say, look, I did the work that I needed to do. Good luck doing yours. But that's how religion is. All religion except Christianity is a works related. You have to do this. You have to do that. Christianity is God saying, I've done it all. Come to me and receive it. You see the difference? It's huge. Tetelestai. Think about all of the sins we have done and will do in our life. And God said, I'm going to wipe them clean by my shed blood. That's the payment for your sin. How many of your sins did you commit when Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary? I know some of you are pretty old. How many? None of us were around during that time. And yet he paid for my sins 2,000 years ago. How many of my sins? All of them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In fact, in Hebrews 9:22, Paul said, according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And what I love is what the Bible tells me about my sins now. Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. The east and west never meet. He didn't say north and south. Does the north and south meet? You go over the North Pole, you're going south now, right? Start going east. No matter how far you go, you're still going east. That's how far your sins are cast away. Isaiah 43:25, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. I mean, I can't imagine what my file cabinet looked like of my sins before I got saved. But I know what it looks like now. It's empty. I was going to say the disk is cleaned, but isn't that kind of old now? Disk? Maybe thumb drive? I don't know. Sorry. You see, it's his finished work. I know my weaknesses. I know my failures. I know the things that I do. But Jesus has come to take away our sins. In fact, in Colossians 1, verses 19 through 22, Paul put it like this. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. There's the amazing thing. I can boldly go before the throne of God through Jesus Christ. Remember when Jesus gave up his spirit, died on the cross of Calvary, around 3 p.m., the veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies was torn in two from top to bottom. And it was the time that the evening sacrifices were being done by the priest. Can you imagine being a priest, getting ready for the evening sacrifice, and hear the tearing of this veil? I'm sure it just shocked them. And I think some of those guys ended up getting saved down the road. But wow, what was God saying? The way to the Holy of Holies, to the presence of God, is open to anyone who comes through Jesus Christ. It's open. What do? We sew it back up. Oh, you got to do this. You got to go through the priest. You got to go through this person. You got to go through that person. No, I go through the mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. I love that. Years and years ago at the great Parliament of Religions that was held in Chicago, almost all known religions at that time were represented. But during one session, Dr. Joseph Cook of Boston suddenly rose and said, "Gentlemen, I beg to introduce to you a woman with great sorrow. Blood stains are on her hands, and nothing she has tried will remove them. The blood is that of murder. She has been driven to desperation in her distress. Is there anything in your religion that will remove her sin and give her peace?" Isn't that great? You've got all the religions out there. Could someone help this woman? I mean, you guys have the answers to God, right? Here's a woman in need. Can you help her? Not one of them replied, because they didn't have an answer. Their religion couldn't save her. Well, Dr. Cook looked heavenward, cried out, "John, can you tell this woman how to get rid of her awful sin?" And then he kind of waited for a reply, and suddenly he cried out, "Listen, John speaks. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sins." Wow. All those religions of the world were silenced. And here was someone who was in need, and they couldn't help. And there was one who could, Jesus. And now the world is trying to take the one away that can help people. Don't let that happen. See, don't make Jesus just a lamb or even the lamb. Make him your lamb, because he's paid in full the penalty for your sins. Now, sharing communion, remember the work that God has done to bring you where you're at today. Be thankful. And just as, you know, as we look at communion and look back, or look at Passover and look back at what God did with the children of Israel, we can see how he's redeemed us, redeemed them from bondage. So what bondage are you in this morning? What difficulty are you facing this morning that God can't help you with? You see, when we look at that with that perspective, there's nothing. He's cleansed me from all my sins. He's delivered me. No matter what I'm going through, he's going to be able to help me. It may not be easy, but he'll be there with me. And I love that. And I think just having that confidence that God will take care of us, because it's all really about the blood of Jesus. That's what we saw with the first Passover. And I guess the question is, what have you done with the lamb and his shed blood? What have you done with Jesus? You need to make him your lamb. You need to accept him as your Lord and Savior if you haven't done that yet. It's the most important thing in the world. And then walk accordingly. And for us who have come to that saving faith, what a wonderful gift. You know, I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. God has given it to us because he loves us. How could you not want to serve him when you realize how much he loves you, right? In fact, Paul said in 2 Corinthians, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." He took our sin. He gave us his righteousness. We can come before God, come before his throne, a throne of grace, and just lay our requests at his feet and just get that burden off our shoulders and say, "Lord, I need your help here. Give me wisdom. Give me direction. Tell me what to do. Show me, Lord." And he will. Give me the strength to endure the situations I'm facing, or to deliver me from this bondage that I'm in. And he will. Remember the work that Jesus has done for you. Again, as I started out this morning, we talked about how we're rewriting the history of our nation, removing the Judeo-Christian roots. We're seeing it happening in the church. Don't let it happen in your life. Be a light in this world that's growing in darkness. Because the darker the world gets, the brighter we should shine. Think about it. Isn't it only always darkest before the dawn? When I speak about the dawn, I'm talking about the return of Jesus. And this world is getting pretty dark. And when you flaunt your sin as a nation, homosexuality is just thrown everywhere. When you murder innocent children in the womb, how far is judgment away? I don't know, guys. My heart grieves. I look at this stuff and I just go, "Lord, I can't take it anymore. I don't know how you do." But he is so gracious and merciful. And let's use the time we have to bring people to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sins of the world. He's our hope. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much. Looking back at that first Passover and how you delivered, redeemed the children of Israel from the bondage they were in Egypt. And looking at communion, Lord, and looking at how you have redeemed us from the bondage of sin that we were in by the shed blood of the Lamb applied to our lives by faith. Thank you so much, Lord. Help us never to forget that. May that encourage us, Lord, in the work that we're involved in. because, Lord, it can get pretty tough out there. And, Lord, we need that encouragement. I think it's always good to look back and see how people in the Bible, the lessons they learned, what we can learn from them. Look at our Christian history, see the lessons we can learn. And look at our own lives and see what God has done in them and what we can learn from them in the present. Thank you so much, Lord, for being our God, how you delivered us. And Lord, help us to go out with joy and to minister to the people of this world the love of Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.